Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. Across the ASEAN, only on Money FM 89.3.
You're back on Across the ASEAN with JP Yong, and it has been a very memorable start Wednesday for most major equity markets in the region. And while they did get off to a rather challenged start today, seems that Thai stocks have, in particular, have already righted the ship, with the Thai set now trading about 0.5% higher as we near the close out in Bangkok. In fact, it's been a rather memorable last 3 weeks for Thai stocks, which are holding on to year-to-date gains, that is, of more than 6%. So far, and also showing signs of investor confidence, at least, or trading confidence starting to return and benefiting Thai equities. For a closer look at what's driving the confidence out in Bangkok today, we are joined on Across the ASEAN by Mr. Andrew Stotts, the head and founder of A-Stotts Investment Research out in Bangkok, to give us his thoughts on the latest developments and the latest drivers and challenges for Thai investors. Mr. Stotts, thank you so much for joining us again, and good afternoon, sir.
Happy afternoon, JP.
You sound rather pumped, sir, over there, and we can't blame you given the set is trading in the green so far. And it's really been doing quite well over the last couple of weeks. I'm not going to lie. We've seen investor sentiment seem to have improved out in Thailand recently. What do you think's been driving the positive sentiment among Thai equity investors over the last couple of weeks?
Well, I mean, generally we had been down for a while, so we've been getting some recovery, and that feels good. I think also, you know, you've got a strong baht. We've seen inflows being pretty massive into the market recently. So that's also pushing it. But generally, I think most people are thinking that, you know, the U.S.-China trade war eventually is going to resolve. And Thailand's not a bad place to invest on that. I would say domestically, if you look at the economy here, I would say that there's some weaknesses in the economy right now. But from a market perspective, let's let it ride a little bit.
Okay. Touching on the baht, actually, and you did mention that the baht strength might be proving to be a plus factor, especially for foreign fund flows to Thailand. There is a growing perception, though, that the baht is being viewed more and more as a safe haven currency. And usually when you have that label, it's usually tagged to currencies like the Japanese yen or the Swiss franc. Why do you think the baht has become taking on this on the safe haven status? And do you think this is also playing a strong factor in actually helping bolster or feed into equity markets out in Thailand now?
Well, I definitely think, I mean, there's a few things about Thailand that are attractive. First of all, inflation is relatively low. And so a stable level of inflation is relatively attractive. The second thing is that though the baht has, you know, been strong, the fact is that that's also a gain for a lot of investors coming from outside. They're gaining either on the fixed income investments that they're making or on the market and on the currency. And I would say that the Bank of Thailand has been pretty stable and steady. We've got a current account surplus. We've got a lot of foreign currency reserves. So, you know, generally, I would say it's somewhat of a safe haven. Of course, there's a double-edged sword in the sense that a strong baht doesn't help the two major pillars of the Thai economy, exports and tourists. So there are both sides of this, story.
So given the fact that there are two sides to the story, could the baht strength actually turn against the Thai economy down the road? Should it continue to be strong? In fact, just looking at where the Thai baht is trading right now, it's been consistently trading below 31 to the dollar over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Do you think this could actually turn against the Thai economy's favor down the road?
Yeah, I think ultimately, you know, a strong baht is painful for Thailand because of the export reliance and also the tourism reliance. You do have somewhat of an interesting situation where the U.S.-China trade war has basically caused Thailand to potentially gain in exports even though the baht is strong. So you may have exports being relatively strong, for necessarily currency-related reasons, but eventually that'll go away. So I think what matters a lot to equity investors particularly is that, okay, fine, they're making some money on the market right now, they're making some money on the currency, but the question is, what does earnings look like for the companies and how do things look like domestically? And I'd say a stronger baht is definitely putting pressure on the domestic economy. In fact, I would say that the economy has a feeling almost of recession.
And just taking off of that, and of course, sir, guys, we're still speaking to Mr. Andrew Stotz, the founder and CEO of A-Stotz Investment Research in Bangkok, Thailand right now. This leads us to the Bank of Thailand, and who surprisingly lowered policy rates recently. And they have been one of the central banks in the region that's been more reticent towards easing monetary policy. Do you think that they could actually lower policy rates again before the year ends? And do you think this might pose problems, for instance, to Thai banks, for instance, who have seen their margins actually go under a little bit of pressure in the medium term? In fact, I believe that the Thai financials right now, they're actually is still in the red year to date when you look at that particular index.
So I think that the Bank of Thailand is going to lower rates again, this year, before the end of the year. And I think that they're most worried about the domestic economy being hit. They're not as focused on the currency, of course, but the domestic economy being hit by a slowdown, I would say. And as far as the banks are concerned, I don't think that the problem that we're facing at the banks has that much to do with the spread that they're making on the loans. It's more an issue, and the interest rate's more of an issue related to the quality of the loans. And if the domestic economy is struggling, then you have problems of repayment and all that that will be dragging, prices of the banks. I don't think Thai banks are in a crisis in any way, but we could see that they're announcing higher provisions and things like that. And I think that's what's keeping the bank sector from being, hot these days.
And given that there is a growing theme now of bargain hunting and value investing, as we mentioned, the Thai financial index is in the red year to date, and a number of these big banks still actually in the red year to date also. Do you think that there could be some bargain hunting opportunities down the road? And what do you think might be the trigger that could prompt investors to take a second look at these Thai banks, given you've said that they're still on solid footing fundamentally?
I think my feeling is that you probably could wait 3 to 6 months, because banks are either a play on a recovery in the market or a recovery in the economy. If there's any of those feelings, then usually banks will go, and perform well. But here we've had somewhat of a recovery in the market, and the banks aren't participating in that. So I think from my perspective, I don't have a problem saying wait for a little while, particularly if we see that earnings start to come out and provisions are rising and the bank's non-performing loans are rising. I think that they will be affected by what I'm seeing in the domestic economy. And one of the things I've been looking at is small, medium, and large companies to try to understand what's really going on in the domestic economy.
And speaking of that, actually, Mr. Thotz, you have been doing some recent research. You've actually brought it up to me, and you did send me a couple of charts, which I will be posting on my LinkedIn account later on, about your research into profit trends for companies across the Asia-Pacific space, in the small and medium space. What are you seeing right now? Because it seems, based on the charts that I'm looking at the moment, it seems that profits, there are already signs that profitability, at least, especially among small firms, is starting to shudder and perhaps even and fall down a little bit. Can you talk to us about these charts that you actually came up with?
Basically, if you look at the overall environment across Asia, across the world, it's been pretty favorable for a stock market or for a profit recovery at companies. But really what I've tried to do is understand to what extent that is happening across all companies. And when I broke it down into large, medium, and small companies across Asia, what I found was really distressing, and that is that the small companies' net profit margins have been falling since about 2007 or so, and just keep falling, while the large companies have actually done very well in this last 5 years or so. And now we have small companies down at about 1% net profit margin versus large companies at about 5%. That gap is massive, and it means that the pain is being felt at the small companies. And I would argue that this does not bode well if Asia gets hit by any slowdown. The small companies are going to be in trouble.
And what kind of feedback could this have actually for the markets? I mean, we spent a lot of time talking about some of these blue chips, right? These bigger companies that you say are still maintaining and even expanding their net profit margins. What does this mean for, say, small cap stocks moving forward? Could this actually lead some turbulence and feed into the markets generally and pose bigger problems down the road?
Well, unfortunately, what will happen is that small cap companies will be hit pretty hard. Only the strong will survive, I believe, over the next couple of years. But what I have seen before when we face this kind of situation, particularly after, let's say, the 97 crisis, was that the small companies are the ones that bear the brunt of it. The large companies still have access to the banks, and they still have good credit terms, between companies. but it's the small companies that will bear the brunt of it. So I really do expect that small companies will potentially go into negative territory for net profit margin, and that will just be very painful. And the large companies will ultimately probably pick up the gain out of that.
And finally, Mr. Stas, before we let you go, just staying on this particular topic here also, if the small firms are starting to show signs of net profit profit margins at least starting to shrink, and if there are investors out there who are trying to find, say, smaller medium cap stocks that to perhaps buffer their portfolios, what kind of advice would you give them, given the fact that you've highlighted this relatively concerning statistic about some of these small firms in Asia Pacific and the trends for their net profit ability?
JP, I would give them one piece of advice, and it's one ratio that we should be looking at right now, and that is the cash conversion cycle. The cash conversion cycle tells us how quickly a company can turn cash through a product, through sales, through credit terms, and back into cash. The small companies are struggling in this area. If you can find a company, and I've been looking for some around Asia that have a low cash conversion cycle, that is a company that could potentially survive this.
All right. Very interesting things to look at. And we'll definitely be looking for some of these companies with good cash conversion cycles there. Mr. Andrew Stotts, the founder and lead and chief of A. Stotts Investment Research out in Bangkok, Thailand. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon on Across the ASEAN. Thank you, sir.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.
Thank you for your time, sir.